you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program from The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. On the first week of each month, the Mormon Channel presents quotes and insights on the Relief Society visiting teaching message. This month, the message is entitled Relief Society, a Select Society of Holy Women. On March 17, 1842, the Relief Society of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints was organized in Nauvoo, Illinois. The Prophet Joseph Smith met with 20 women to organize what he called a select society separate from all the evils of the world, choice, virtuous, and holy. From its early days, the work of this select society was to search out and help feed, clothe, and house the needy. These holy women also strengthened each other spiritually. Together they worked to build up the kingdom of God on the earth and to prepare for the blessings of eternal life. Speaking to the Female Relief Society of Nauvoo, the Prophet Joseph emphasized holiness, explaining that as sisters become pure and holy, they would have a marked influence upon the world. He explained, "Meekness, love, purity, these are the things that should magnify you. This society shall have power to command queens in their midst. The kings and queens of the earth will come unto Zion and pay their respects." Relief Society sisters living their covenants command the respect not only of noble people, but if you live up to your privilege, Joseph promised the sisters, the angels cannot be restrained from being your associates. Regarding the sacred work of the Relief Society, Elder Dallin H. Oakes shares the following.
From its beginning, the Relief Society has led out in charitable work. At the first meeting, President Emma Smith said, "Each member should be ambitious to do good." In his first formal instruction to the newly founded organization, the prophet said he was deeply interested that the Relief Society might be built up to the Most High in an acceptable manner. He taught that when instructed, we must obey that voice, that the blessings of heaven may rest down upon us. All must act in concert, or nothing can be done. That the society should move according to the ancient priesthood. End of quote.
As the sisters participated in the work of serving and saving others, they became personally sanctified. This work continues today. Relief Society sisters work together to prepare women and their families for God's greatest blessings. They joyfully follow the counsel of Joseph Smith's mother, Lucy Max Smith. We must cherish one another, watch over one another, comfort one another, and gain instruction, that we may all sit down in heaven together. Relief Society was organized for women of this dispensation. However, righteous women have always had an important role in serving in and building up the Lord's kingdom on the earth. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5, we read of the holy women also who trusted in God. Elder James E. Talmadge of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles stated that the world's greatest champion of woman and womanhood is Jesus the Christ. Elder Neil A. Maxwell teaches of the holy women found in church history and in the scriptures.
Just as certain men were foreordained from before the foundations of the world, so were certain women appointed to certain tasks. Divine design, not chance, brought Mary forward to be the mother of Jesus. The boy prophet Joseph Smith was blessed not only with a great father, but a superb mother, Lucy Mack, who influenced a whole dispensation. When we would measure loving loyalty in a human relationship, do we not speak of Ruth and Naomi even more than David and Jonathan? And no wonder God, with his perfect regard for women, is so insistent upon our obligations to widows. A widow with her mite taught us how to tithe. An impoverished and starving widow with her hungry son taught us how to share as she gave her meal and oil to Elijah. The divine maternal instincts of an Egyptian woman retrieve Moses from the bulrushes, thereby shaping history and demonstrating how a baby is a blessing, not a burden. What greater conversation of anticipation has there been than that of Elizabeth and Mary, when also the babe and Elizabeth leaped in recognition of Mary? Does it not tell us much about the intrinsic intelligence of women to read of the crucifixion scene at Calvary? And many women were there, beholding afar off. Their presence was a prayer. Their lingering was like a litany. And who came first to the empty tomb of the risen Christ? Two women. Who was the first mortal to see the resurrected Savior? Mary of Magdala. Special spiritual sensitivity keeps the women of God hoping long after many others have ceased.
In our day, the sacred work of the Select Society of Holy Women continues. As we come to understand our divine nature and self-worth, we will better understand our potential to become holy women. Elder Richard G. Scott explains that the sanctity of womanhood is under attack. Quote, Satan has unleashed a seductive campaign to undermine the sanctity of womanhood, to deceive the daughters of God, and to divert them from their divine destiny. He well knows women are the compassionate, self-sacrificing, loving power that binds together the human family. He would focus their interest solely on their physical attributes and rob them of their exalting roles as wives and mothers. He has convinced many of the lie that they are third-class citizens in the kingdom of God. That falsehood has led some to trade their divinely given femininity for male coarseness. So many of our own young women sacrifice their God-given endowment of femininity, deep spirituality, and a caring interest in others on the altar of popular, worldly opinion. Close quote. Throughout the world, sisters in the Relief Society become holy women as they serve with righteous priesthood holders in the work of salvation. Irene Russo, a Relief Society president from Zurich, Switzerland, shares an example of a woman from her ward who exemplifies how to be a holy woman.
We have a wonderful older sister. Her name is Helen Roffler. She's very dear to my heart because her husband actually served as a missionary many, many years ago, just after World War II in Austria. And he spent many, many days and many meals, you know, in our home. So when we moved to Switzerland and I happened to live in this ward, I got to know her. Her husband recently passed away. She has quite a few children, I think at least eight. One of her sons died because of a drug problem. One of her daughters is handicapped. And she is a dedicated temple worker. She spends so, you know, we have the Swiss temple very close by. She tries to attend anytime she can. She's always ready to serve and help others. She bakes the best bread there is. I love her cookies and her cakes. She's ready to serve at any time. And yet, when you meet her, you know, you can just feel she is such a special spirit. She is truly a queen and priestess in the truest sense of the word, holding, you know, strong to the rod. And I think it is the atmosphere and the spirit that surrounds her. And there are many, many good women around us, but she truly knows who Jesus Christ is. When you look into her eyes, you know that she has gotten to know him as her comforter, as her savior, as her redeemer in her personal life. And she just radiates that. When you look into her eyes, you can feel and sense that love. I think the main difference is that she has an eternal vision. When challenges come, and she is one of the few women I know, I don't know anyone close to who has undergone so many different trials, and yet she has always been faithful because she knows there is hope, there's a life after, there is the opportunity and the possibility to be together with her family, to be reunited with her son she lost through a horrible, you know, addiction and sickness. And I think that helps her to just stay strong.
As sisters participate in Relief Society, they have opportunities to enjoy sisterhood and companionship, give meaningful service, and develop and share their testimonies and talents, and to grow spiritually. Sister Barbara Thompson, second counselor in the Relief Society General Presidency, expressed the need for women of our day to embrace the sacred work of Relief Society service.
Remember, it's not just what you can get out of active participation in Relief Society, but what you can give and contribute as well. My dear sisters, I testify to you that God loves you. He is mindful of you. He has a plan for you. He needs you to serve his children. He needs you to be active and faithful and fully participating women in his church. He needs you to comfort the weary and strengthen the weak. Sister Eliza R. Snow, Second Relief Society General President, spoke to a large group of sisters, both teenage and adult women, gathered in Ogden, Utah in 1873. She gave the following counsel that was timely then and is still appropriate today. Remember that you are saints of God and that you have important works to perform in Zion. Paul, the apostle, anciently spoke of holy women. It is the duty of each one of us to be a holy woman. We shall have elevated aims if we are holy women. We shall feel that we are called to perform important duties. No one is exempt from them. There is no sister so isolated and her sphere so narrow, but what she can do a great deal towards establishing the kingdom of God upon the earth.
There are many ways that women of the Relief Society are striving to become holy women. Participating in temple ordinances is one way that we can become a holy people. Psalms 24, verses 3 and 4 teaches, "Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto vanity, nor sworn deceitfully." The prophet Joseph Smith taught the women to be holy individuals, to be prepared for temple ordinances and covenants. We can also strive to make our homes holy places. Elder Gary E. Stevenson has said, quote, "Imagine that you are opening your front door and walking inside your home. What do you see, and how do you feel? Is it a place of love, peace, and refuge from the world, as is the temple? Is it clean and orderly? As you walk through the rooms of your home, do you see uplifting images which include appropriate pictures of the temple and of the Savior? Is your bedroom or sleeping area a place for personal prayer? Is your gathering area or kitchen a place where food is prepared and enjoyed together, allowing uplifting conversation and family time? Are scriptures found in a room where the family can study, pray, and learn together? Can you find your personal gospel study space? Does the music you hear or the entertainment you see, online or otherwise, offend the spirit? Is the conversation uplifting and without contention? Whether our living space is large or small, humble or extravagant, there is a place for each of these gospel priorities in each of our homes." Close quote. In 1 Thessalonians 4:7, we read, "For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness." To be holy is to be pure in heart. The early saints focused on becoming a Zion people. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 97, verse 21, we read, "Therefore, verily, thus saith the Lord, let Zion rejoice, for this is Zion, the pure in heart. Therefore, let Zion rejoice." In our day, we too can focus on becoming pure in heart as we work to build Zion wherever we live. As we do so, the Lord will sanctify us, and we too can enjoy the blessings of Zion. In Doctrine and Covenants, section 84, verse 58, we read, "And the Lord called his people Zion, because they were of one heart and one mind, and dwelt in righteousness, and there was no poor among them." Sister Julie B. Beck, Relief Society General President, has taught,
"To do our part under the plan of the Lord, we are to increase our faith and personal righteousness. Membership in the church requires faith, which we nourish throughout our lives with great diligence, patience, and long-suffering. In the common heritage we share, we have remarkable examples of faith from the early women of the church. Early pioneer women were driven from homes and persecuted because of their faith. Others survived fires and floods. They crossed oceans and walked thousands of miles, tolerating dirt, illness, and near starvation to help build the Lord's kingdom on the earth. Many of them buried husbands, children, parents, and siblings along the way. Why did they do this? They did it because the fire of their faith burned in their souls. These remarkable women were not seeking fine clothing, greater leisure, large earthly mansions, or more possessions. Like you, they had a conviction and a testimony that the restored gospel of Jesus Christ was true, and that the Lord needed them to do their part in establishing his kingdom on the earth. Their pursuit of personal righteousness was a daily effort to become more like the Savior through repentance, scripture study, prayer, obedience to commandments, and through seeking after everything virtuous, lovely, or of good report or praiseworthy."
How does service sanctify us? Carol E. Flannery shares her testimony of how service blesses and sanctifies our lives.
"I have found that Relief Society really inspires holiness in our lives as we both give and we receive service. Service sanctifies us, and it helps us to become more like our Savior. Recently, my family had the opportunity to be both on the giving and the receiving end of such service. It was hard to send my daughter, my son-in-law, and three darling grandchildren to live in Arizona after living in Utah all of their lives. I had great peace knowing that they were faithful and they would be happy and that the Lord would bless them for that. My faithful daughter was 25 years old, and she had three children, 2, 4, and 6. One Sunday morning, she awoke with great pain in her eyes. As she opened her eyes, the majority of her sight was gone. She could not see her children or her husband. After much fasting and prayer from her ward and from her family and many, many doctor's appointments, it was decided that she would need to travel to Boston, Massachusetts for surgery. While I kept her children here in Utah for the 2 weeks that they were gone, and then it was decided that as they came back through Utah, they would pick up their children, and then they would all drive home to Arizona together. Well, it just happened to be that the same night they would be arriving in Arizona was the night that I would be involved in a stake training. I was an important part of that training as I was the Stake Release Society counselor. And I had great stress in wondering whether or not I should go and be with my daughter or whether I should stay for the training. I visited with my sweet Release Society stake president, and she said, "Oh, go, Carolee, be with Brittany." But I had peace in my heart that if I stayed and I took care of my training, that my daughter would be blessed and that she would also be taken care of by the sisters in Arizona. Well, as the time came that Brittany pulled into the driveway with her husband and children, there stood on her driveway her sweet Release Society president. She had no idea when they would be arriving. And she was standing there with bags of groceries for her family and a list of sisters that Brittany felt comfortable with coming into her home. I was so grateful for that sweet sister and her inspiration that she knew what my daughter would need. She listened to the promptings of our Heavenly Father, and she followed them. My son-in-law has a very busy job. He's attending school, and he was in the bishopric. Their service freed him to be able to continue with his commitments. Even after I arrived in Arizona, they did not give up on her because she had me. They still came every day. They took care of the children with me, and they helped with meals, and they visited with Brittany. I tried to get them to take care of their own families and to stop coming, and they would say things like this: "We love Brittany. We want to be here. She would take care of us, too." I am so thankful for those sisters, for the help that they gave my daughter, and for the spirit that they brought into her home. I've thought a lot about the life of our Savior, Jesus Christ, and how his life was completely dedicated to service around him. And if we want to be sanctified and to be as he was, we need to be following him and to be serving others. I have a strong testimony of the purpose of Release Society for the service that we give and that we receive from others. I am thankful for a loving Heavenly Father who knows each of us individually, and I say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Today, our lives are full of opportunities and promise, as well as challenges and adversities. To stand strong against the opposing forces of our day, Sisters of the Relief Society will be strengthened as they follow the admonition of Joseph Smith to become pure and holy before the Lord.
In the Doctrine and Covenants, section 25, the Lord gave this counsel: "Be faithful and walk in the paths of virtue before me. Thou needest not fear. Thou shalt lay aside the things of this world and seek for the things of a better. Lift up thy heart and rejoice, and a crown of righteousness thou shalt receive." In this month's visiting teaching message, Sister Sylvia H. Allred shared the following insight on the value of Relief Society in creating holiness in the lives of our Heavenly Father's daughters. She states, quote, "This society helps us strengthen our faith and grow spiritually by giving us leadership, service, and teaching opportunities. In our service, a new dimension is added to our lives. We progress spiritually, and our sense of belonging, identity, and self-worth increases. We realize that the whole intent of the gospel plan is to provide an opportunity for us to reach our fullest potential. Relief Society helps prepare us to receive the blessings of the temple, to honor the covenants we make, and to be engaged in the cause of Zion. Relief Society helps us increase our faith and personal righteousness, strengthen families, and seek out and help those in need. The work of Relief Society is holy, and doing holy work creates holiness in us." Close quote. Thank you for joining us for the Mormon Channel Relief Society program and our discussion of the August visiting teaching message, Relief Society, a Select Society of Holy Women. For more information on this program or for a link to the text of the visiting teaching message, visit mormonchannel.org. To share a story or an experience with the Mormon Channel, email us at mormonchannel@ldschurch.org. This has been a production of The Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints.